Galatians chapter 6. There's no preacher in this dispensation of grace that we live in can preach too much on the cross of Calvary. Now, I want to preach on the cross this morning, about the cross. They used to, one old preacher said, they asked him one time, said, how can you get so many results when you preach and get people get right with God so much? And he said, no matter what my text is, no matter what my subject is, he said, I preach on it for a few minutes and cut a trail toward Calvary. And I tell you what, this morning, that's what it's all about. Jesus died for our sins. Don't let that get old to you. We saw it out there in a Christmas play a while ago in the teenage class, and boy, it just was real, and how that the Lord died for our sins. And the Apostle Paul made this statement here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, and it still works today in 1995. And it says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The cross. Now the Apostle Paul that wrote that scripture, no doubt was one of the greatest Christians, one of the greatest thinkers, one of the greatest minds of anybody in the history of the Christian church. One of the greatest gospel preachers that the world ever heard was the Apostle Paul. He is a trophy of God's grace. This man was a man who had Christians put in jail before he got saved. Then turned around and preached that cross which he had before time tried to destroy. And as he was coming down to the end of his ministry, he said, I have only one thing to glory in, and that's the cross. Paul finished his race just like he started it, right with God. A lot of people start out good and then wind up crooked or off in the ditch somewhere. A lot of people start out giving God the glory and then a little bit later on start trying to steal the glory for themselves. But old Paul, boy, when it was his time to die, folks, he still had the same philosophy he did when he started. I don't have nothing to brag about. Don't have nothing to glory in. Except that one day, many years ago, a man died on the cross to pay for my old wretched sins. He had it right. He had it right. He had his philosophy right. He had his doctrine right. I want to say, you and I this morning, here in this day and time, we still have nothing to brag about. We still have nothing to glory in. Sometimes we walk around like we're something, but we're nothing. You're nothing, I'm nothing, except for what Jesus did for us on the cross. It amazes me how people strut around like they're really something. It took some of you women an hour to get to looking like you look right now. I mean, if we saw you in real life, we'd run. Amen? You ought to use a lot of soap to wash that stink off of you. That's right, brother. You let your be go 2 or 3 days and you couldn't stand to get near you. We have nothing to brag about. We're nothing. We're nobody. We're not no use to strutting around like a peacock, you know, like where God really got something when he got us. He sure did, man. He sure did. He got a mess and he got us. But I tell you something I can brag about this morning. I can brag on the cross. Paul could have gloried in his ancestry. He sure had one. He was from the stock of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, all of that stuff, pure bread, thoroughbred, whatever you want to call it. He could have bragged about that, but he didn't. He could have boasted in his intellect. He is one of the most brilliant men of his day. They said he could speak several different languages. He could have said, now I can do this and I can do that and I have a high IQ and all that kind of stuff. He didn't mention it. He could have boasted in his going up and down the country, winning souls and building churches, the things that he wrote, the great literature, the epistles that he'd written to the churches. He could have bragged up all the sermons that he had preached and the places that he had been and the time that he got was going to be bit by a snake, you know, and it didn't kill him and all of that. But he said instead, I boast only in the cross of Calvary. He didn't even brag about the virgin birth. I believe in the virgin birth. Paul believed in the virgin birth. He believed in the miracles of Jesus. He believed when he healed the blind man. He believed in him giving sight to the blind, deaf, or hearing to the deaf. But when it come time to die, that ain't even what he bragged about. He bragged about that sacrifice that the Lord made when he died on the cross. He gloried in the cross. Now the death on the cross this morning was the most shameful, humiliating death that a human being could die. Jesus made it glorious. There's nothing to glory about really in a person's death, especially in this type of death, a cruel, bloody murder, but Jesus made it wonderful. You know, every once in a while you see those TV documentaries and they have serial killers on there. They'll have Charles Manson. And he took the blood of Sharon Tate and those actresses and he wrote words on the wall with human blood. And people sit there and shiver. And sometimes people even get sick and nauseated. Sometimes you think, oh, how bloody, how awful that could be. It's not something you like to hear about. Not something you enjoy thinking about. But this one that I'm preaching about this morning, we sing about it. We preach about it. We glory in it. We shout about it. What made that one different? What made that bloody death different from all other deaths? It was that the cross has become the high symbol ever of love and sacrifice. Its influence has become the mighty power in the world. It was a little light kindled on Calvary that shed a light to the whole world. You know, I read about Dr. John R. Rice, and here he said in his book that the best news he had ever heard back many years ago, he was in Texas in November of 1918. He said the weather was uncomfortable, the mud was deep, camp life was dreary. He said all the soldiers were just snatched out of homes and businesses and placed on hold there in the terrible war. And he said they had all the bloody war was involved and half the world was held in chains of circumstances and they were headed toward the bloody ditches of France to fight in the war. And then came the great day. He said first there was a false report that this fighting had ceased. And then came the true one. The Germans had surrendered. World War I was over. He said they realized they would get to go home. The war was over. The battle was fought. And it had been won. He said they began to realize they'd soon be going home. Back to school. Back to their farms. Back to their wives. And back to their children. He said fire bells started ringing. People get out dish pans and beat them on the side of the street. He said people jumped up and down. They screamed. They yelled. They were singing. They said it's the best news we ever heard. The war over. The fighting has ceased. And brother, he said they shouted and yelled and ring bells or something like that and all kinds of things. But he said that was never so much the glad news as it was that day when the angel announced his birth. I'm thinking about on Calvary when the great battle was fought and sin was defeated. And brother, the victory was won so that you could be saved and go to heaven when you die. That's the news, man. The battle's been fought. The victory's been won. Do you know every one of us would go to hell if Jesus hadn't have died on the cross? Do you know there's a blistering hell burning down there tonight or this morning with screams of people and fire burning and I don't have to go? I don't have to go because Jesus died for me on the cross. Y'all know I travel a lot and when I travel, you get your plane ticket. A plane ticket's about that size right there. And they always put it in an envelope. And inside, it's got what they call your itinerary. And your itinerary is, it'll say, Castle Danny. U.S. Air, Eastern Airlines, Delta Airlines, American Airlines, or some express airline. And it'll have time for departure, Charlotte, North Carolina, 9:45 p.m. Arrive, Rochester, New York, 11:16 p.m. or a.m., something like that, you know. And they'll say, this is your ticket. That ticket's been bought and paid for. And I stick it down in my coat pocket like that. And I got my luggage here, and I got my Bible here. here, and I got something on my shoulder here, and I'm carrying all that junk, and I go up to the counter. And I go up to the counter there, and I say, I'm going to get on that plane that's going to take me up in the sky and take me to New York. Now that lady, she's sitting there, and she does like this. Can I see your ticket, sir? Now what if I got up there and I told her, I said, I have a Bible right here. I'm a Christian. I have a Bible. Let me on this airplane. She'd say, I'm really glad to see your Bible. Now, please, could I see your ticket? And I'd say, but you don't understand. I'm a preacher. I preach every single Sunday. And lots of times in between. I go to church every time the doors open. A lot of times the doors ain't open. I got a key. I go in there by myself. And she says, wow. I'm impressed. I'm proud of you. Now, can I see your ticket, please? And I say, but do you see my hair? Look at that. My hair is above my ears. You see what this is right here, lady? This is a King James Bible, big enough to buy it. I'm not a compromiser. Bless God, I believe in everything you can think of. I believe in everything in the Bible, and I believe much stuff that ain't in the Bible. I've got more convictions than the Lord has. I'm independent, fundamental, premillennial, straight as a stick, dead as a doornail, like so. And that lady said, you're really something, ain't you? Yes, I am. I want on this plane. She'll say, listen, sir, we ain't got all day. Do you got a ticket or do you not got a ticket? And I'm not going to get on that thing until I pull this ticket out. She's not impressed with my lifestyle. She's not impressed with how many Sundays I've been to a church in a row. She's not impressed with me giving money to a charitable organization. She wants one thing, that ticket. You hear me? She wants one thing. I pull it out of there, brother, and I give it to her. Then she don't care what color my toenails are. She don't care what I did yesterday or where I live. She said, you got a ticket? Get on. Yes, sir, Mr. Castle. There's a seat right over there for you. I get on the airplane, get in my seat, prop my knees up against that little thing and pray. I always do that God will have mercy on us. And then, boy, I just sit back, hold my Bible, and I say, glory to God. Fly us out of here, pilot. Take us home. Now, I want to tell you what, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I get to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. A lot of people don't think I am, but I am. A lot of people don't think I deserve it, and they're right. I don't. But I'm a going. Amen. I'm a going. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I got my ticket. I got my ticket. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going because I got a Bible. I got a bunch of Bibles. I'm not going to heaven because I got on a tie. It looks like a candy cane. I'm not going to heaven because I go to church. I'm going to heaven because somebody bought me a ticket 2,000 years ago, stretched out his hand, and died. And brother, when I go to heaven and I stand at heaven's gates, I'm going to say, here's my ticket, Lord. What is it? Jesus died for me and I believe it. Come on in, Danny. We got you a seat. That's how important the cross is. You don't get into heaven without it. The cross shows the depth of human sin. The cross shows how deep humans will step in sin. We hear a lot about sin. We think we know something about sin. We see it in other people and even in ourselves. But you'll never realize the depth of sin till we come to the cross. I heard about it Christmas time some time ago. There's a crowd of people gathered around outside of a business, and this fellow took a gun. He had had an argument with his boss man. He went home, got a gun, come back, shot his boss man, killed himself, shot a bunch of people. And people all standing around there gasping, saying, oh my goodness, look what sin done to that man. You go down to the home of the drunkard this morning. You go into some of the homes that our bus workers go to every week. You'll see the marks of sin. You'll see how wicked sin is. You go to the drug rehab centers this morning where there's teenage girls in there and they can't even have any kind of forks or knives or anything where they blew their mind messing with some kind of drug. Some sorry, good-for-nothing boy gave them the drug so he can get them high, so he can do what he wants to. And the girl didn't have no better sense. But to tell you, she thought that rock and roller was her friend. She thought he would be good to her. She takes the drugs. She takes the alcohol. She gets in a car wreck, breaks her neck. She's in a wheelchair the rest of her life. Maybe a paraplegic. Maybe can't even get out of bed. You see what sin does. You see them over there this morning and down here in some of these hospitals that I've visited. And one thing put them there, and it's sin. sin is to blame. Sin, what causes little kids to go to bed at night and can't sleep because of tears running down their face. Sin's what causes mamas and daddies to fight, throw things across the house and scream and holler and cuss. Sin caused all of that. You know, we hear about the time when Jesus was born. We hear about them killing babies back then and Herod being so wicked that he is having little babies killed. Yet this week in our Congress, they voted to pass a bill that would just stop late-term abortions. And the that one method of abortion that they're talking about much now, partial birth abortions. Did you know they're doing abortions now in America every single day? They're going on right now while we're sitting here. Where a baby's just about to be born, they'll take instruments. That baby's head will actually be out of his mother's womb. They'll take instruments, insert them into the baby's head, and suck its brains out while it's kicking and bothering. Listen. Head is no more wicked. Pharaoh is no more wicked than even the President of the United States who vetoed that bill. Amen. Y'all look up here at me this morning. I want to tell you something. America is going to stand in front of God one day guilty. Listen, the president said he'd veto that bill to stop that stuff. There was a lady stood up in Congress, a woman who's supposed to have natural affection for babies, and said, we don't need this, we don't want this. They won't want to be able to kill their own kids. I want to say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, abortion is murder. It's murder. It's just the same as taking a gun and killing that person right beside you. Some of you girls here this morning, listen, Dad, we've had girls change their mind about abortion even after they come here to church and found out what really is. They try to tell you in those, they try to tell you in some of the schools, they try to tell you in some, across America, they try to tell you, oh, it doesn't matter, it's not a person. It doesn't hurt. A woman's a right to do what she wants with her body. That is a bunch of B-U-double-L. Capital B. You don't have a right to kill your baby. You don't have a right to. You'll stand in front of God guilty of murder, and so will the doctor, and so will the nurses, everyone. You know, we're in an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, and I can feel from you here this morning, that makes you twin in your seat. That's how wicked our society has got. That's what sin does. That's how bad sin is. Lord, have mercy, people. My soul. I bet you that woman that stood up in Congress the other day and voted against that bill and said, we shouldn't have this. I bet she's glad her mom didn't have her brain sucked out when she was being born. You know what? Another method of abortion, they take utensils and cut their arms and legs off. Cut them off. And take them out piece by piece. And most of your abortion clinics, within just a few miles of right here where we're sitting this morning, every day has a trash can full of little arms and legs. America is guilty of the greatest Holocaust since the foundation of this world, and the other countries in the world are too. More than World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, more than all that. And you got these same people standing up for owls and dogs and cats. You know, the biggest hypocrites I've ever seen in my life are these environmentalists. I mean, I hate to get in a bad mood this morning. Some people make somebody gay. Don't you ever wear one of them Greenpeace Save the Earth shirts around me. That makes me want to throw up. I wish you, once you get out here and save some of these people, man, that's what God's interested in. People that are dying, people that are starving, people that are bleeding. Some of these rock singers are the biggest hypocrites. They talk about hypocrites in the church. They're the biggest hypocrites of all. Michael Jackson, Madonna, all that crap. They can feed those starving people. They got enough money in the bank to do it. And if you do that, start quit chasing little fucking ducking their pants down. He'd be a better off man. Amen. Hey, preach it, brother, daddy. Amen. I want to tell you what, this morning, brother, those are the biggest hypocrites I've ever seen in my life. I don't like that. Wonderful. I wouldn't be a very good preacher if you liked me. I'd hate to see the preacher some of you folks like. I would tell you.
I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. Sin is evil. Sin causes suffering. My soul. I thought about sin, what it does to this world. I thought about the murder of innocent people. I thought about the hate, the crime. That's why Christ died on the cross. There's no way a man can make up for that sin. Cross shows the depth of human sin. All this stuff I told you this morning is horrible. They believe people. People believe that stuff. You know, those kind of intelligent, they try to fall and still feel these kind of lies. But I ain't just stuck. And I tell you what, if I live there, they just have to laugh, too, baby. Ain't this quiet? Are you out of your mind? Hypocrite in the world ought to die. Now, there's a couple of you in here that are busy, and you know what your problem is? You're brainwashed. You're brainwashed by the government. You can't even think straight no more. What? These people say, what's his name? They want